Okay. I suppose we're ready to go. Connor confused me.
Yeah, we're going.
Okay. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Trash Bros. We're still here. We haven't died yet, so
might change.
You have to keep listening to us.
Yeah, you have to. It's a legal requirement.
It is. You know, it's in a forum.
We signed a contract, and it's going to happen eventually, but you have to stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Until we die. So,
until we die, yeah.
Start sending assassins if you want it to stop. That's really the trick here.
I was just going to say, we're going to start calling out, like, big shots like the Illuminati or whatever until we get assassins sent toward us.
Yes, we want the assassins. If you send them away, that'd be great.
I work for the Illuminati.
I am the Illuminati.
Okay, I'm going to open my... Stop. Stop.
Do it.
Stop it. Exactly. It hurts me.
It does not.
That hurt you.
Well, yeah, because you dug your nail into my ribs.
It wasn't the nail. It was just my razor-sharp talon.
Oh, so, I mean, it wasn't... Yeah, whatever.
My talon.
I'm going to start this episode-ish with... If I can get... My nail underneath. Ugh!
You want some help?
No, I'm a big boy. With my cherry Pepsi Max opening.
Just a piece of paper.
It worked. Oh, wait here. I didn't think it was going to open that fast.
Kind of botched, but that... it fizzled for a while.
It did.
I think that's the best like fizzle we've had.
Fizzle. Woo! Okay, guys, I want to ask you guys something. Okay. Or we get too deep into a conversation.
Well, this is probably going to launch us into a deeper conversation, so.
Is this... It? I'm going to edit this out. Let me start out. Guys, I'm going to ask you...
Don't edit it. The show is unedited for a reason.
Is the answer to this question no?
Yes.
Then it's no. Then the answer is no. Then it's not yes, is it?
But the problem is you didn't even ask a question.
I did. The question was.
Well, no, okay.
Is the answer to this question no? Kyle?
Are you here?
I am here. The paradox is getting to me.
But that's such a stupid question because you haven't asked anything that we would answer no to.
Yeah. So
you're asking, it's a yes or no question.
You're asking a yes or no question, but either way you answer it changes the answer.
Exactly. So it was the answer.
Did you make this up?
No. It was the answer.
Not that smart.
There is no answer. That is the answer.
There is an answer. It's wrong. Whatever you answer, it's wrong.
Whatever I answer, it's right. So what is your answer?
Oh, right.
I'm not going to tell you because then you'll know. I could just look this up. Like,
that's how that works, isn't it?
It's 7.2.
No, you're way off.
29.
Way off. Even more.
Africa.
No.
Bananas.
Voodoo.
No. So, yeah, anyway. Me and Dylan, well, more me, but we were playing a game the other night, and he was, like, actually taking stuff seriously in the game, and I was looking at paradoxes while he was, like, getting killed in the game.
Think you mean getting kills.
Oh, no. You're so bad.
I was actually defeating myself. I'm so bad.
You're playing the game more than Dylan, but you're also looking at paradoxes.
No, Dylan was playing the game more than me.
Oh,
and I was wasting my time and his.
We were playing Sea of Thieves, and he was literally just standing on the ship looking at paradoxes while I'm running around doing things and sailing new places. And he's just standing on the ship looking up stuff.
Although, to be fair, I did ask if you needed help, and you said no. I've got this. And you said you were enjoying it. So
you should have known I was lying.
Okay, can I say something about Sea of Thieves real quick? Dylan, you and I were playing it like last week or something, and we had that big long mission to go do with all the different islands and captains and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So you left, and I had one island left. That island took me an hour to complete.
An hour?
Because I kept it was those stupid gold skeletons, right?
Ah.
But there was like 8 of them, and they all had guns, and they were all the most accurate in the world. So I jumped off of the boat onto the shore with my guns ready to fire. I'd shoot them, but then I'd get like triple tap. Like 4 of them would shoot me at once, and I'd die immediately again. So it took me so long to whittle them down because they'd keep eating and healing while I was gone.
Hey, Kyle.
I died at least 6 times to that.
Kyle?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. No one cares!
Well, So I was playing with Connor when he was doing the Paradox stuff, actually. He had to step away, and I was on this island, and I was needing to kill these gold skeletons. And they were so far away from any water. They were so far away from, like, any ammo box. So I was like, this is stupid. Like, I need to kill these idiots, and I don't want to stand around forever. I killed the first group by running, like, across the entire island, which was pretty massive, to get an ammo box. And then a second group of gold guys spawned, and I was like, I'm not doing this crap. So I just decided, I was like, whatever. So I got the ship, and I sailed the ship around the island, and I just made myself this little platform. I just sat there, and I was blasting away for, like, half an hour on these idiots. Because they just kept spawning more of them. Like, because you have to kill, like, wave after wave after wave until you finally get the, you know, boss guy to come out. So I was just, like, firing and firing and firing and firing and firing and firing. I was like, oh, my gosh, would this please end?
You fired.
But it wasn't an angle where I could use cannons or anything. So all I had was a sniper rifle. So I'm just standing there. And then Connor got back, and then he didn't help either. He was still standing there doing nothing. So I was still just, I was there for, like, years.
Yeah.
Just shooting at these guys. And I was like,
okay. I'm going to be honest, I'm still not completely filled in on what you were doing while I was gone because I kind of spaced out while you were talking.
Well, I'm not going
to
tell you now.
I should clarify.
No, I don't want you to. It's boring, dude. And you just would not shut up. Oh, my
God. I agree.
When Dylan starts talking, all Connor hears is the Charlie Brown teacher. Anyway, I should clarify. When I said an hour, it didn't take me an hour to kill the skeletons necessarily. It took me about half an hour to 45 minutes to do that, and then sail back and sell everything. That was the full hour of stuff.
12 years.
It felt like
he's actually still playing right now.
Yeah, that game is forgotten.
Never stop.
He hasn't even gone pee. It's incredible. I've never seen someone do this.
It's been...
I thought he just had, like, a bucket or something.
No, it's been 56 hours.
Dang.
You know that 450 pounds I apparently have? That's all my bladder. It's just lots of
pee. Hold on.
Okay,
may want to visit a doctor or a bathroom.
Got something else for you guys.
I got, like, another question.
Is it another paradox?
No, it's not another paradox.
It could be. I have loads.
He does have loads.
Well, since looking them up.
Wikipedia.
But I do actually, I think I might have asked this on the podcast a while ago. And I asked Dylan that the other night, and this is kind of what spurred it. Spurred the spiral.
This is what spurred it.
Spurred it. That, what?
I don't know. Spurred. Go on.
Stop. Oh my word. Stop it.
It's time to stop.
Yes, I will. I'll kill you with this bandage. Continue. It's supposed to be for healing. Continue. Well, it'll heal me by killing you. Heal my soul.
When the healer takes a... like a,
did you give up?
I had what I was going to say, and I lost it halfway through.
Okay, this is not what I was going to say originally, but Kyle, I want to know what you think, because I've never really had an answer.
Oh, about what?
This question.
Oh.
You have a boat. You have a boat.
You've asked me this before.
Oh.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it now because...
Yeah.
I've given the right answer for this, so my answer is the right one.
I will end you, Dylan.
It is, and you know it.
Okay, continue.
I don't know it.
You don't know Dylan's answer? I remember Dylan answering, okay. But I don't remember what his answer was.
So you make a boat. You have a boat. Okay, so you have a boat. Mm-hmm. It is comprised of 100 pieces of old wood. Over the course of 100 days, you replace one by one those pieces of old wood with new wood. At the end of the 100 days, the boat is made completely out of new wood. And with all the old parts of wood, you make a boat. So what boat is the original boat? The old wood or the new wood?
The new wood.
Well, are you sure?
Yes, because you're taking pieces out of a hole and replacing them one at a time, slowly. If you had taken off, say, well, even if you took it like one half at a time, so you take off the front half of the boat, replace that, then take off the second half and replace that, that is still the original boat. It still has, it doesn't have the original pieces of it, but it is still the original boat.
Okay.
You then build out of the old wood. You build a new boat out of the old wood. So then you have two boats. But the one of the new wood is still the original vessel because it was... I mean, you didn't just take the new wood.
The original vessel.
It is. Because you don't take the new wood and just make another boat. You're replacing bits and pieces at a time with new bits. So, say your house.
That's what I said.
Your house. If you replace a wall of your house, that's the same wall. It's the same wall. Not the same components, but the same wall.
So, if you have 1 million bricks that make up your house, and over 1 million days.
That's a ridiculously long time to remove a brick.
It's a really long time.
No, over a million days, you replace all of those bricks. And then on the 1 million and first day, you comprise a new house. Right next to the house. It's the same exact house next to each other.
So it takes you 1 million days to deconstruct and reconstruct this house piece at a time. And then one day to put up a whole new house.
No. Yeah.
That's a paradox in and of itself.
No, it's not. It's just a weird scenario.
Yeah. It would still be, you still have the original house.
I know. I was kidding about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my word. So that's dumb.
Dylan, what's your answer to that?
Dumb blonde.
Mine was the same answer. It's still the original boat. It's like, the thing I said to Connor, it's like doing repairs on a boat. You know, it's like doing repairs on anything. Just because you repair it and it gets new parts, it doesn't become this brand new thing. And if you take those parts and build something else, it's not the old thing that you're making. You've made something new with it. So I don't see how that's a paradox to anyone unless they're stupid, if I'm being honest.
Well, I can go down the list of these paradoxes if you guys kind of want. Because, I mean, I know we did that already, Dylan. But some of these were really interesting. And also, a lot of them were weird. So
there were a lot of weird ones. Like,
that's what? That should be our podcast description. Down the rabbit hole. It's interesting, but also weird.
A lot of these are really weird.
There was one that said like, that is disgusting. I'm gonna need you to stop right there.
Sorry, I need a water.
That you.
I haven't drank any water today. I need water. And it's what, 3 in the afternoon?
You disgust me.
Wait, I don't drink water today. Have I drank water? I don't know if I drank water today. There you go. There's my water for the day.
Okay,
2 swallows.
That was like good. 30. It was no never ending. Oh my gosh, you're still going. Ugh! There was one that said something like, by studying a green apple ensures how many ravens are black or something like that.
What?
Yeah, it made no sense.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I was like, what?
Studying a green apple makes your ravens
are black. Yeah, observing a green apple increases the likelihood of all ravens being black. Raven paradox. What?
Is that something
the paradox to do with, is figuring out what the crap it's even talking about?
Is that something to do with, like, you know, when you stare at something for ages and then you move, but then your eyes have like the indentation of that color?
No.
Or like
no. Okay. Thing with paradoxes, you cannot put logic to them. That's the point. Logic has nothing to do with paradoxes. So trying to figure out what the crap that's even talking about. It's just going to blow up
your brain. Is that all it says, or does it explain?
That's all it says. Yeah. So
I search like Raven Paradox. I'm like, fine.
What does it all mean?
This is the episode where you guys find out that we are all actually androids, except for Connor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Connor might be a robot, but well, we don't know. So, guys, pirates.
We're not done.
Pirates. Well, while you're taking ages to do that, we're going to talk about pirates. Dylan, if you had a pirate ship, what would you call it?
Ugh.
This is a great topic for conversation. I named mine the Cherry Pepsi Max. What am I doing?
What would I call my pirate ship?
Diet Coke. What am I even talking about?
I'm going to assume that you have a name for a pirate ship, Kyle.
I actually don't. I just wanted to see what you would call yours.
I don't know. Could one be like, you know, awesome, obviously.
Yeah, I heard about, this wasn't a real one. I was watching the show or listening to a podcast or something. They were talking about
the Going Mary.
No, a ship called the Squall Eater, which sounded pretty cool.
The Squall Eater.
And then there was another one called The Mist. But the team that they like quote-unquote accidentally stole it. Like, they actually didn't mean to take it, but they were fighting, jumped on the ship, and then they're like, ah, okay, this boat's ours now, and then left. And they
classic the stealing the maneuver.
From The Mist to The Mistake.
Be called The White Moon, and it would be painted entirely red.
I just call my ship The Maximum Overdrive.
The Maximum Overdrive!
Anytime my crewmates are like, what should we do? Like, maybe we should put it into Maximum Overdrive. Only answer to anything is Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. I still don't have an idea of what I would call mine. But...
Shacks?
Yes, the Shacks.
That's actually a really cool ship, man. Shacks. No, what do we... The Flying Justice. We have, like, that's our joke.
The Flying Justice.
Jim. No, Jimmy.
That's it.
I'm not Jimmy. He's Jimmy. Jim boy.
Where's the boy coming from?
Jim boy.
That's kind of piratey. You see boy in there as well.
Boy. Okay.
The crater.
So... The ship of Theseus is the paradox about the ships. There's one called the Sorites paradox. This is one that we talked about the other night, Dylan, that we actually discussed.
I just want to see the name. How's it spelled?
Okay.
S-O-R-I-T-E-S.
Sorites.
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 Sorority?
Sorority.
Oh, my gosh. How did you know?
You must die.
Also known as the paradox of the heap. This is the one, Dylan, you remember? And we actually didn't have an answer for this one. So I'm actually curious to see what you say.
Applying Android brain.
If one removes a single grain of sand from a heap, still have a heap. They still have a heap. If they keep removing single grains, the heap will disappear. Can a single grain of sand make the difference between heap and non-heap? Do you get it?
Yeah. Because, at some point, the heap would become a small pile, wouldn't it?
Well, what determines that? Can you see a heap and keep taking grains of sand, and then at one point, you take one grain of sand away, and the heap is gone. The quote-unquote heap is gone.
I do have an answer for this now, actually. I'm thinking about it again.
Okay, one second, Dylan. So going down, if you go down, like... Boom, that's not a heap anymore. Even if it's down to like 3 grains of sand.
I said no.
I know.
A single grain of sand cannot determine heap and non-heap. Because obviously once you get down to like 100 grains even, it's not going to be a pile. It's just going to be dirt scattered on the floor.
Well, you have to get, you're missing the.
Yeah, a single grain of sand. You're missing
the middle bit.
Grains of sand are so small. They cannot by themselves determine this is a heap. Take one grain out and be like, okay, that's not a heap anymore. I mean, a heap, a big, huge thing. Take out a couple pieces. No, but over time, it's going to go down.
Yeah.
So one grain of sand cannot determine that. You have to take out half the pile.
No, something else. But you're saying taking away one grain of sand at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So from this huge thing, one, obviously these paradoxes don't take into account like logic. So, like, how big and how much time would go by. But if you have a heap, and like, a textbook definition, heap of sand, right? However big that is to you, can you take away one grain of sand at a time until it gets down to a certain, like, size that you take away one and you say, oh, that's not a heap anymore? No. I still think you're missing it. Like, missing
the point. No, I get it. And I know you're taking away one at a time, but at no point, there is no like definition. A heap of sand is exactly 4,762 grains of sand.
Well, yeah. A heap would be personal, like what you see as a heap.
Okay, well, talk about, how tall are you right now?
Like, I don't care.
4 feet? A 4 foot tall, you're kneeling, that's what I'm talking about. A 4 foot tall.
He's just ripping me.
A 4 foot tall pile of sand. How much do you have to remove of that And, like, yeah, how much of that do you have to remove until it's not a heap anymore? You have to remove a decent amount, at least a third or a half of the pile. So it'll just, over time, it's not going to be like, I take one. You might take one out and then look at it and realize, oh, the pile's gone down a lot. But it's not going to be like, that's not a heap. Oh, it's not a heap anymore. It's not going to be like, click, oh.
Yeah, but eventually, if you keep taking from that pile, it won't be a heap anymore, right?
Why does this sound like a Mr. Beast challenge?
We removed every grain of sand from this pile.
The first person to do it gets $1 million.
But yeah, eventually, it won't be a heap.
Yeah, eventually.
But when does that, like...
Whenever you look at it and realize that's just not a big pile anymore.
So then one specific grain of sand being taken away did determine whether or not somewhere in the time before, you know, from the very beginning to the point where you realize, oh, wow, it's not heap anymore. Somewhere in there was one grain of sand that would have been the determining factor for you to say, this isn't a heap. Do you get it? Do you see what I'm saying?
No, just kind of be... Well, see, my problem with that is... It's whenever you realize it. Whenever I look at it and I say, oh, that's not a heap anymore. I mean, that's when it happened, at least for me. That's when I would have realized that it's not a heap anymore. There's no specific grain of sand. Yeah. It's just me saying, hey, that's not a heap anymore. So at that exact moment, whatever the last...
I'm not afraid anymore.
Hey, I'm not a heap anymore.
You hear me?
I'm not a heap anymore. The paradox wants you to be... like that precise, like down to the grain, what makes a heap. The reality of it is as humans we are not that precise. So it's whenever you look at it, like you could take one out and be like, huh, well, first off, when you, like, even a pinch of sand, you're not getting one grain. That's just ridiculous. But regardless of that, taking out all these grains, and at a certain point you realize that the pile has decreased from a heap to a pile, or a heap to a small mound, it's just gonna be whenever you look at it and realize the pile's not as big anymore. Because
pile no big no more.
It's not, yeah. I think that's the way around it. You, it's not being that precise about it.
So, I see what you guys mean, and I do agree with you that it only becomes a non-heap when you realize that it's a non-heap. So, obviously, two things. One, really quick, like I said to Kyle, the somewhere in between you starting this, like you starting this process of taking one grain of sand out from a heap to the point where you realize, you know, like you come back from your mindless state and you realize, hey, it's not a heap anymore. I'm not a heap anymore. There was one grain of sand that if you were to, after that one grain of sand, specifically, if you were to look at and then realize, you know, like come out of your mindless state and say, oh, it's not a heap anymore. There was one specific grain of sand that would have changed that.
Technically, but that changes for every person. And since there's no specific definition of how many grains of sand makes up a heap.
Hold on.
There's no, like, definite thing to say that this one in particular is the point. It's just for each particular person. So that varies based off what person you have.
Well, yeah.
And how much they're paying attention and all that little stuff. So
taking it personally. Yeah, think of it that way. Like, for you personally, there is one specific grain of sand that would change it. Same with Kyle. It might be different for Kyle. Well, like, he might have.
But that would even change for me, though. It's not even like it's just for me personally, because that could change based off viewing it so many different times. Because once again, grains of sand are so freaking small that, you know, I mean,
exactly,
you'd barely even notice what I was missing till you've seen such a large number of them go. Then you may start to realize it. So,
yes. So going back to my analogy of the 4 foot tall pile of sand, which is a big freaking pile of sand.
Yeah.
The 4 foot tall pile. By the time you get down to that grain, so say you remove 2 feet of the pile, you take out enough grains of sand, you're there for like 10 years taking out grains of sand, and then you take out this one, and it takes it down from, like, you know, 2.0001 inches down to 2 feet, right? Exactly 2 feet. And if a heap had an actual definition of size, so say a heap is anything, a pile of anything over 2 feet tall, okay? Then you could say this one grain of sand is this specifically, like, poking up above 2 feet. I'm going to remove that.
Okay.
Then, then that is a correct statement.
Like I said before, you guys are thinking about this too logically. If you think about it, because, yes, obviously, if there was a specific definition for how many grains of sand, how big a heap of sand would be.
Yeah.
Think about it, but because there isn't, that's why it's a quote-unquote paradox.
Well, it's not a paradox, because it's just stupid. Because it doesn't, it just doesn't work. Doesn't make it a paradox. It just means some idiot came up with it who's too dumb to think for himself. That's all that means.
Some stoner's just like, hey.
Like, dude, but I got a paradox.
My point there with that whole thing was the height of the pile is going to be the same for so long. You're not going to realize it changed until you, like, look away, look back. Oh, whoa, this pile's changed a lot. You're not going to realize it changed until, you know, half of it's gone.
Then think about it this way. If you were to stay, like, okay, yeah. So rather than thinking about it in a way that, you know, it is a mindless task. It's kind of like washing dishes. If you were to just wash dishes forever, you wouldn't realize how much you've done, whatever, until you're almost done. You get it?
Yeah.
So think about if you are constantly...
Sorry.
Stop that! If you're constantly tuned in to what you're doing, if you are consciously making an effort to take one grain of sand and say, is this a heap anymore? And after every single one, there would be eventually one grain of sand that either, or even like, even a certain amount of sand, like somewhere in between 4 billion grains of sand and 5 billion, somewhere in there, you would take one away and be, oh, that's not a heap anymore. Somewhere in there.
Yeah. I think the problem with paradoxes, they are designed to be approached logically, but logic cannot be used against them. Well, I mean, you can try it. It's
humans are incredibly logical. So when they can't use logic to figure something out, and especially with this, where it's interpersonal, like it depends on the personal.
So how about this? Instead of removing a grain of sand, you have a cup measure, right? And you're removing cups of sand at a time.
Yeah, you already said that this is a measurement. Yes, well, obviously you could say this is a measurement. This is how much has gone.
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying. It would be easier to say, okay, that's a cup gone, two cups, three cups, yada, yada, until you've removed however many cups. And then you're like, okay, so that's gone down. That's not a heap anymore.
Yeah.
But the paradox is saying that you can only remove one grain.
Yeah.
So you're going to be there for such a mind-bogglingly long time, which honestly, this sounds like a punishment for Greek myths. Or something. You can only remove one grain of sand.
It was in the Magisterium books. Remember when they had to, like, separate the dark and light sand?
That would be horrible.
That's a cool test.
And the other problem I have with this is that humans are not attentive enough to even stay, you know, paying attention for that much on that mindless of a task. They're just not. You're not going to stay. Well, you're not going to keep your attention to be able to accurately determine that while you're, you know... focusing on grains of sand. You're just not.
You can't think of it that way, though, because that's too logical. Because, you know, some of the stuff that we were talking about the other night, like the observing a green apple increases the likelihood of all ravens being black. What? That makes no sense. And same with, like, the one with the crocodile, like, kidnapping the kid and the father and all that. It makes no sense. So just assuming that someone were to do
that. The scenario makes no sense, but in that case, with the crocodile, that does actually make sense. That is actually a paradox. It being a crocodile and it talking is weird, but it is actually a paradox. This is just some idiot came up with it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, the Raven one, I agree. That's probably just some stoner under a bridge is like, hey, dude,
listen to this. If you observe a green apple, listen to this. Green apple.
The more you look green, at this apple, dude,
be more black. Trust me, dude.
Yeah, that's exactly that's how it went down. That's an exact representation of how it went down.
Because I'm the one that came up with it. I was the stoner under the bridge.
he's since
dude, listen to this paradox.
I do have two more. I'm going to try and find that crocodile one really quick so I can do that one. But what about this one? And I know Dylan and I had some pretty lengthy conversation the other night about time paradoxes.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Problem is, when you get into a discussion about a paradox, you could literally talk about it forever. Because, as you saw, we filled up a good 10-15 minutes talking about that one paradox, because we kept trying to explain it to each other, but we all see it differently.
Because we're stupid.
Yeah, just like you, but that's, we accept you for it.
Okay, so, here's one.
I said we accept you.
Oh, I found the crocodile one.
Show me.
The crocodile paradox, also known as, okay. Paradox and logic in this family. The premise states that a crocodile who has stolen a child promises the parent that his or her child will be returned if he or she correctly predicts what the crocodile will do next. The transaction is logically smooth but unpredictable if the parent guesses that the child will be returned. But a dilemma arises for the crocodile if the parent guesses that the child will not be returned. In the case that the crocodile decides to keep the child, he violates his terms. The parent's prediction has been, what the crap? The parent, where is it? I just lost my place. The parent's prediction has been validated and the child should be returned. However, in the case that the crocodile decides to give back the child, he still violates his terms. Even if this decision is based on the previous result, the parent's prediction has been falsified and the child should not be returned. The question of what the crocodile should do is therefore paradoxical, and there is no justifiable solution. You get it?
I think so. It sounds like this guy just needs to go get a lawyer to say, hey, help me write up a ransom note.
Seems like this guy needs to go to,
or whatever, guys.
Rehab.
Yeah, he's seeing crocodiles.
Someone's seeing talking alligators and stolen kids.
He's going to rehab.
Again, why does this sound like a Five Nights at Freddy's book?
I think I know. I've thought of an analogy for, kind of an analogy, for how describing paradoxes to your friends and discussing them is. So, you know when you're like, okay, you're on a desert island. You're asking somebody to match them. You're like, you're on a desert island and you have a choice to eat, I don't know, what stupid things. You can either eat a zebra or you can eat a lion, right? This is a really random choice, but you have to do that, and then the person's like, well, I wouldn't be on a desert island. Or I wouldn't eat either of them.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you have to choose one. No, but I wouldn't.
That you are,
no, but
you are,
have to. You don't get it.
You are saying exactly what Kyle does every single time.
Okay, no, not like that. I don't do it like that. It's whenever Kate asks me, would you rather? And it's like
would you rather
die or die slowly or something? That's a bad
thing. I'll just shoot myself.
You know what? It's two choices. Like, would you rather have Iron Man? Oh, would you rather be friends with Iron Man or be friends with Captain America? And he's like, well, what time frame are we talking about? Are we talking about back in World War II or with Captain America? Or would I have friends with all of Tony Stark's friends if I was friends with him? What would it be?
Overthinking it. Just choose
one.
Well, I do agree with asking about time frames, because there is different time frames if you want to be friends with people. I'm just saying.
Shut up, Dylan!
I mean, if you're friends with Cap during World War II, you get to meet Bucky, which is awesome. But if you meet him after...
Oh, no, it's more like this. More like, would you rather be friends with Iron Man or Batman? And Kyle would be like, well, do I get a share of their money? Do I get to go to their parties?
Do I get their gadgets?
Do I get their training? Do I get this or that?
What you're saying is true. I do think about it more than probably I should.
That was like a Ron Swanson. What you're saying is true, but I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I think about it. So I'm saying, if Kate asked me Batman or Iron Man, I don't do this so much anymore, but what I would say would be Iron Man, because I'd probably get a suit.
Exactly.
I would give a reason, and it's a stupid reason, but it's a stupid question.
Yeah, I guess you can't take them too seriously, but you can't.
I'm not saying be friends with Batman and I'm going to join the Batman crew.
The Batman crew.
No, I wouldn't want to join the Batman crew, but be friends with Iron Man. Rhodey got a suit.
Technically, he stole it, though.
He still got one. He was friends with Iron Man beforehand and afterwards. Come on.
Also, okay, really quick, like, deviation about Iron Man. Was anybody else really, really confused when... Now, I watched this when I was young, like, a lot younger. I wasn't fully paying attention. But when Rhodey got switched in the from the first movie to the second movie, was anybody else, I like, was really confused. So confused? They were like, what the heck is happening here?
I have a confession. I did not watch through the Iron Man films, like, properly until recently, because Cade did, like, two or three back-to-back, like, full Marvel timeline films of watching.
Yeah.
And he was watching, like, he watched them in release order. So Iron Man 1, 2, or, yeah, Iron Man 1, 2, 3, and then a bunch of other films. So, like, the full series, then whatever.
Right.
So he was watching it like that. And he watched Iron Man, what was it, 1 and 2 or 2 and 3? I don't remember.
I don't know.
But whichever one he changed actors in, yeah, I saw a guy and I was like, who's this guy? And then they said his name is like Rhodey. I was like, oh, that's Rhodey. Oh, okay. They changed actors for him. I didn't realize that till recently.
Well, because I watched it when I was so much younger, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Well, you know what confused me more was the one from Thor 1 and Thor 2. The swordsman dude. They changed his actors, but the guy looked similar enough that I
yeah.
I
was oh like, yeah, did he really sure. change, or am I just being weird?
Yeah, right. Like, it's, huh?
All right.
with actors,
so what cool. I thought was weird was Tony Stark's dad being changed from Captain America 1 to like all the other movies.
Yeah, yeah. But then
he like doesn't in, even
from Captain both. America 2. They have the picture of him from old Captain America 1, but it's like that still doesn't really fit well.
Like, is he in Captain America 2?
No, but there's a picture of him when they go in the old S.H.I.E.L.D. base.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there's a picture of him, and it's like, that's not right. That's weird.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one more paradox. This is a time travel one, so okay, buckle up, Dylan.
This will be the last one of the episode, and then we'll wrap her up.
So, the predestination paradox.
Oh, this already sounds pretentious.
Oh. Bootstrap paradox.
Bootstrap.
We'll talk about that. You guys need to know the bootstrap one. It's just like reading through to bootstrap paradox. You send information / an object to your past self, but you only have that information / object because in the past you received it from your future self. This means the information / object was never created yet still exists. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yep.
Yeah, so like it hasn't come into being yet in your past life.
It had no beginning because you have it. You have it in your past self because your future self sends it to you. So all through your life, you grow old, you send it back to your past self. But where did it come from? Because you had it from your future self.
And then
your future self sends it back to your past self. See, so it's like...
The first time you decide to do that, well, it would be the first time, I suppose. But when you do that, it creates a loop.
Exactly.
That item becomes a loop in the timeline.
Yeah. But where does it start? I don't know why it's called bootstrap.
Bootstrap build. The action of sending it back in time to your past self creates the time loop, so that it then has no... Well, it begins then.
Time
and it just
war.
Keeps spiraling forever and ever and ever. So
don't think of it that way. Be confused.
No, because that's...
Allow yourself to not have an answer.
No.
But that is the answer, though.
But I refuse.
Yeah, because think about it. If I sent back this pencil...
Okay, no. We're not getting into this. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
So what do you want me to be confused if I have an answer?
Don't be confused. Incredibly confused.
I'm confused. Why you want me to be confused?
Okay, fine. Let's say you have a pencil.
The Connor paradox. Be confused, but don't.
Let's say you have a vintage pair of,
swim trunks.
Rubber ducky underwear.
Nice.
It is a one.
We basically said the same thing.
That is vintage.
I was trying to think like rubber ducky. I was going to say ducky underwear, but I was like,
you just said a rubber ducky.
A vintage pair of rubber ducky underwear that your future self sends back to you.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So you grow old and this is a worn down pair of underwear by now. And you send it back to your old self.
Sorry.
Stop. What are you doing?
I'm counting.
Why?
Because. Just keep going.
Why are you counting?
Because then it's the cycle's repeated itself twice.
That's it.
Yeah. You grow old. Say, I received this from my future self in the past. So, therefore, sometime in the future, I need to send this back to myself. So, when you grow old, you get to that point. Send this back.
Yeah, that's the point of this. There is a cycle. That is the point of this.
Yeah.
The question is, where did the underwear come from?
Well, somebody originally had to buy the piece of underwear.
Yeah.
No.
It came from your first time that, so your life, right?
So who bought it? That's the question.
Your original self.
You did not buy it. So if you
there has to be it, an original version of yourself that bought it.
Yes. So this it's like splitting timelines. So say timeline one. At the end of this, you or so, sometime in your lifetime, you buy this pair of rubber ducky underpants.
Why do you choose rubber ducky underpants? Oh my gosh.
You send this pair of rubber ducky underpants back to yourself. And then that starts a new timeline. That starts a new timeline where you've always had these rubber ducky underpants. Right?
Okay.
And then at the end of that one, you just send it back. So it keeps but creating
that,
multiple.
That doesn't make it a paradox.
Well, it's just a time loop. That's all it is.
Okay, listen. It's not supposed to be like that. Yes, it makes sense that way. But the paradox.
I mean, technically, yes, it is a paradox. But once again, okay, this is what I was talking to Connor about the other day. These time paradoxes only work as long as you agree with whatever version of how time works that whatever idiot came up with it agrees with. Because there's like 9 billion versions of time, so or how time works. So it's only if you agree with what they say, because it can be explained in every other version of how time works, just not the one that this person's basing it off of. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, so, it's a paradox only in this one very, very specific scenario, and it's totally fine in every other scenario. So technically it is, okay. But technically it
is. So don't think of it this way. Yes, this way it makes sense. There was a specific time where Kyle Kastner bought rubber ducky underpants from the store and sent it back to himself in the past. Don't think of it that way. Think of it like this. You are living your life.
So
can I finish?
Yes.
You are living your life, and all of a sudden, you're wearing rubber ducky underpants from your future self.
Does that mean somebody like came back in time and put rubber ducky underpants on you, and you didn't notice?
I assume I just like acquired like. Yeah, someone comes and gives
don't
me.
Don't overthink it. You have it. You get it. You know it's from your future self. In the future, you send it back to yourself because that is how the time loop starts. That is where. You got it from the future.
Yes.
Your future self. So then your past self then lives his life, sends it back. Where did it come from?
Where did it go? Don't think of
future. Yes, exactly. It came from the future. Exactly. It came from the future. Your old self sent it back to you.
Yeah.
And then you live your life.
Yes.
To your old, and then you send it back.
Yeah.
So where did it come from?
The future.
Exactly. But if it came from the future, then where did it come from?
It came from a future where the guy bought it originally, and it just been
going. No, shut up! Yeah. It's not the thing. Shut your mouth.
That's such a simple explanation to it. Like, it doesn't need any other explanation. So say,
you time travel back and give your younger self, hey, have these rubber ducky underpants, and your mom's like, get out of here, you stranger! And then you somehow acquire these rubber ducky underpants. You live your old life, whatever. And then time travel is invented. You're like, I want to send these back to myself. Take me back in time. So they send the rubber ducky underpants back in time to that spot where you got it originally. So that the spot when you acquired them will always be the same. You'll have always gotten this underpants at the exact same time and date in space-time. And then you live, and then when you send it back, will always be the same point in your life. So those are the two constants. When you acquire the item and when you send it back. The loop is the underpants itself. The underpants is a constant. They keep traveling.
Okay.
They keep going and moving.
You said the two constants is when you acquire it and when you send it back. Yes. Those things are connected.
when you acquire it is when you send it back. So here's the underwear.
So let's yes, say you guys, when you, when you acquire it is when you send it back, but it's not for the same person. Because each person is in their own timeline. So for the same person, one of them is sending it back and one of them is receiving it. And then, you know, vice versa, that's what's going on.
You guys are thinking about it like this. This is a linear time, right? Let's say you live your life, boom, right in the middle. I'm gesturing to Kyle so he can understand. You right in the middle, you get your underwear, okay? You live your life, you get to here, this is your old self, you send it back. And then you live, and then you send it back, and then it keeps going down. Because as much as you're moving this way, you're also moving this way. What we're trying to say, okay, you acquire underwear here. Oh, no, sorry, forget that. You have underwear here. You have your rubber ducky underwear here, your favorite pair of underwear.
I don't know where they came from, but I just have them.
Exactly. You have them. You live your life, and then you send them back. This is the time when you send it back.
Okay, but how do you just have them?
That's the paradox. Okay, so where does it come from?
But if it's being given to you by someone, you know someone's giving it to you. It's not a paradox.
You can't overthink it. You cannot think of it that way.
It's making me overthink it because of how stupid it is. It's not a paradox. You know where it's coming from. Someone is literally handing it to you. You're literally giving it to yourself every time.
Am I right when I say this? Me and Dylan are overthinking it in the way of we are assuming that it has a start.
Yes.
So
the paradox is that occurs. It doesn't have a start. So the underwear does not have an origin. You don't know where it comes from. Your old self has it, sends it back to your young self. So that way your young self has it. So that when he's old, he sends it back to his young self. So where is it coming from?
It comes from the original guy who had it. That started the stupid loop.
So the paradoxical question is, where is the start of the underpants?
Yes.
There are no underpants.
That's funny.
If it has no start.
You're going commando.
And you cannot define where it came from, then there are no underpants.
You've just been imagining yourself wearing underpants the whole time.
Yeah, it's all in your head. But there are no underpants.
That's the paradox, because there are underpants. But if you don't know where it comes from, there shouldn't be, you know?
So it's paracausal underpants.
It's paradoxical.
They are immune to cause and effect.
I'm going
to
read this last one.
We've run out of time
already. No, it's fine. I'm going to read this. It won't take that long.
Okay.
This one's the predestination. We can discuss it now.
Yeah, but we're only supposed to be doing it's like half fine. An hour episodes.
I'm angry right now, Kyle.
Okay, well, let's end this episode.
Rip off your face!
Connor, this is good. This is good, like tension for the next one. They can.
No, I've already.
It's. We'll say, hey, tune in next week if you want to hear the next paradox.
No, because I don't want to spend a whole other podcast talking about this.
Well, I'm not going to record another hour long segment. I'm just saying.
That's fine. You don't have to. You can leave, Napoleon.
Read the paradox.
I'm waiting for you to shut your freaking ugly mouth. Thank you. Predestination paradox. This kind of builds off of that last one. Oh, it doesn't build off of it, but it doesn't have anything to do with rubber ducky underwear. But it does the same thing. And rather than an item, it's more of a circumstance. You'll see. A man travels back in time to discover the cause of a famous fire. While in the building where the fire started, he accidentally knocks over a kerosene lantern and causes a fire. The same fire that would inspire him years later to travel back in time. The bootstrap paradox is closely tied to this, in which, as a result of time travel, information or objects appear to have no beginning. So he goes back in time because of a fire, because he wants to know how the fire started. He goes back in time and starts the fire.
Yeah.
But how then in the future did he know that? How in the future was there a fire that started? If he was the reason, he
changed the past.
Okay, now okay, there, we're done here.
That is my problem with these paradoxes. I understand that it is a paradox in the sense that if you're a complete idiot and you ignore everything else and use this one very stupidly specific set of rules, then yes, it's a paradox. But it doesn't work as a paradox for anything else. That's why they're stupid.
yes, it's a paradox, and there is technically no beginning in this one specific set of rules that they're using, but it doesn't work for any other set of rules.
Well, then think of it in that set of rules. The reason it's
a paradox... I mean, I understand that it's a paradox in that set of rules, but it's just dumb. It's like, why don't I don't even want to think about it? Like, what's the point? I get that it's a paradox, but you can make anything a paradox if you screw the stupid rules up enough and make up your own crap for it.
There are no rules with time travel, though. Like
technically,
you said,
no. Technically, time travel is not a thing. I understand that. I'm not saying it is. Yeah. I'm just saying think that it's only a paradox in this one very specific thing, and it's so easily explained in everything else, but you're not allowed to use everything else because then it makes no sense. So it's just stupid.
That's the point. You're not supposed. It's not stupid. It is stupid. You're just not supposed. It's not stupid.
It is stupid.
Guys, not supposed- here's a paradox. It's stupid, but it's not.
But it is.
But it is.
You're not supposed to use the alternate, like, reasons or it's- anything. It's supposed to be a paradox in this very specific. That's how it is a paradox.
Yes,
a paradox. Any other way, it's not a paradox.
A paradox requires you to
not have an explanation.
It requires you to read the question, and then it makes you think in circles.
Exactly. It requires you to shut your brain off and get so stupidly confused by it, but it's so easy to not get confused if you know turn your brain on for half a second.
I didn't realize this was such a trigger for you, Dylan.
No, we were just talking about it a bunch the other night, so I'm already thinking about it.
It's not that it's...
So
it doesn't make you stupid if you don't.
So it's
you're not supposed to overthink it. You're supposed to just agree with the.
But why do I want to agree with something that is so blatantly stupid and wrong? Why?
So wait, you're not supposed to try and solve it. We are trying to solve it. We're thinking of solutions to it.
What's the point if I'm not supposed to think about it and try to solve it? What's the point of it?
Because it's not something to solve. It's a paradox for a reason. It's not supposed to be solved. It's supposed to make you think in circles.
It can be solved.
It's not supposed to be.
But it can be. Because you're not thinking about it. It doesn't matter what it's supposed to be if it can be. If it's not supposed to be solved, then it shouldn't be able to be solved. Right?
You're not thinking about it in the right way. You're thinking about it in the way that it's...
I'm just thinking about it. The only way for it to be done right is to not think about it, which is stupid.
Okay. You're putting different... It all comes down to this. How do I say it? You're not supposed to come up with different rules of time just to solve it. You're supposed to agree with the rules of time that it deals with. That way it is a paradox. So don't think of it in these other like Avengers Endgame rules.
So guy sees in a news report from the past, fire. I want to go back, find what caused the fire. He goes back, causes the fire. How? Yes. That in and of itself cannot have happened.
Exactly.
Yes.
I get that. I understand that it's a paradox, but I just... when I can think of a way around it that makes more sense than it, it doesn't hold up as being something... It's not like it's some crazy paradox. Like, oh my gosh, it's just some idiot. And you're being forced to focus on this one thing. You can't think about it. You can't put any kind of logic to it. It's just stupid. Like, what's the point?
Well, that is the fun of paradox.
That's not fun. It's annoying and dumb when I just have to agree with what some moron came up with.
And
Socrates? He's not a moron!
You heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Moron.
I had a really good point. Can't let it go.
It's retreated into your brain.
That's what it is. The problem is, there are many different explanations of time. Like you guys have said multiple times, there's many different explanations of time. So, for you to say this paradox, guy travels back in time to discover the cause of a fire, but he causes the fire. Okay.
Yeah, so where did the original cause come from if he was the one who started it back in time?
Okay,
so that's great, but there's no answer to it. So, wow, he started the fire. Where did it come from? Who freaking cares? It doesn't matter.
Well,
there's no answer to it. There's no point thinking about it because it doesn't matter.
That's the point, Dylan.
It's the predestination, right? So he was supposed to have traveled back and start. He is the cause. He's the original and always has been the cause of this fire. But he doesn't know it till he travels back and causes the fire.
Exactly.
Or...
No, that's it.
Wait, I had a different... I had a different.
You had it right. That's exactly it. He doesn't know he started it until he goes back and starts it.
Yeah, that is the answer to the paradox.
That isn't an answer.
That is an answer. That's not an answer. It's a stupid answer.
Because that is illogical.
Paradoxes are stupid and they make no sense. And that's the whole point of them is to be dumb. Somehow that's enjoyable. I don't get it.
It's the same thing as the rebel.
That's the point.
So I'm not supposed to enjoy it, then what is the point of it? If it's not supposed to be enjoyed, you're not supposed to think about it, you're not supposed to do anything with it, you're not supposed to apply any logic to it, what is the point of it? There's no point.
It's exactly like the crocodile thing. It's a loop.
I understand it's a loop.
How you can't just say like, "Oh, you give me back my child." He gives it back his child, but then he wouldn't give it back because that's what he was supposed to do. So blah 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 blah. It goes in a loop. He would contradict himself. It doesn't make sense, and that is why it's a paradox. It's not a paradox if you can solve it. I did solve it. By applying different rules of time, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Okay. Here's what I'm gathering. We all enjoy paradoxes differently. Me and Dylan enjoy it. Dylan doesn't enjoy them at all. Connor enjoys it because it's a waste of my life. An unsolvable question. I enjoy a paradox because I can think of ways around the rules. If you're asking me an unsolvable question, there's no.
Then how would you solve the crocodile one? Would you just like shoot the crocodile?
Well, okay. What was it again?
That is a very good option.
See, I knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
The crocodile says, "I'll give you your kid back if you can correctly predict what I will do." If the parents say you're going to give us our kid back, he cannot give the kid back. But if they say you're not going to give the kid back, he has to give the kid back. Either way, the crocodile is breaking. It's a Rumpelstiltskin thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the question is the answer.
I think that one.
The question is the answer.
But it's not an answer because it's a constant loop.
Unless they say no. If they say you're not going to give him the kid back, he has to give him the kid back by his own terms.
But then, okay, you didn't understand the paradox then, because you'll know that if he said you had to give a kid back, he'd give it back, but then that would break his rule, so then he couldn't give it back. Whereas if he say you can't give it back, then he'll have to give it back, but then it won't. Then that'll break his rules. So then
he can't give it back. What were his like terms? Right, I forgot.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Go back and listen to it.
He's gonna give the kid back if you correctly predict what I'm gonna do. But if you don't predict it, then he doesn't give the kid back. So it's either they guess right. So the crocodile has a predetermined I'm going to give it back or not. That is the answer.
You know what?
Anyway,
I'm going back to
I'm gonna close this out. We're at 58 minutes, so
Let's
close out. So basically, what we have learned today in our wonderful school of idiocy, paradoxes are stupid.
Yeah!